so much. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm just going to forewarn you, I think I've had about 6 hours of sleep in the last 3 days, so I might be a little emotional just because of stress, okay? But just sometimes the strings of my heart are strung by things that happen in church and things that you get to be around, experience and see. And just a good week and a great joy to be in church this morning. I thank you for the songs and thank you for your presence. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you. I want to say I love you. I want to say I need you. I ask for wisdom to preach. And then I pray that as we meet together, Lord, you do something that only you can do in the hearts of your saints. Lord, in the minds of someone who may not know you as Savior yet, Lord, you bring them to a point where they could see the light. And then, God, I ask that if there's anyone that comes into our presence that's unsaved today, Lord, they would at least have the opportunity to call on your name. And I pray that you'd bless our efforts in spite of them. Lord, you'd be with our energy and give it to us, Lord. And thank you. And ahead of time, just want to give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes, we are called to see things which others cannot see. And if you're a financial advisor, wouldn't that be awesome, amen, to be able to see things that others cannot see and be able to be ahead of the curve in those things? I know that just growing up and watching things, and I've thought, wow, I never thought that would happen. I never thought I'd see the day when this took place. And then other things you could just tell and you could see it a mile away. It was just a matter of time until it transpired. I know that in life, they say hindsight is 20/20/20. I wish I had any sight 20/20, to tell you the truth. But in this passage, it calls upon the believer that we need to see things that others cannot see. And if you are a believer, you've seen the Lord Jesus died and resurrected for your sin. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And that's why you got saved. That's why you believe in the Lord Jesus, and that's why you put your trust in Him. He's worth all of it, and He's worthy of any sacrifice, service, and any setback that we may face. He's worthy of it. But in this verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." What we see is that they can't see it. That somebody, it doesn't mean that they're going to get saved when they see the light. Unfortunately, people have been brought to Jesus many times, and that didn't mean they got saved. They have to choose Him. But at least they could see Him and have an opportunity to call on His name. I've had some opportunities and missed it as well. We were fishing with some of the fellows yesterday, and I tease about this, but I just figured that because I'm a shepherd, that's why I catch sheephead every time I go to Lake Erie, okay? They get on my line, they just know me, and they want to come see their shepherd and say hello, and we tease about that. But every year that we've went, there's been a few times we caught some fish and had a good time. But yesterday was just a unique thing, and I'll tell you a couple things about it here as we get in this message. But we got on there, and I finally saw a day when there were more fish than people fishing on the boat. And it was a fun day. They limited alley caught. They made us stop fishing. I mean to tell you, I told them, if you counted wrong, we got one more fish, I'm putting my pole back in the water and we get back to the dock. But it was amazing. And it was about 2.5 hours and we hadn't caught but a few. And I was kind of feeling bad because Anthony Jones, Ava's dad, he hadn't caught anything. And I was like, oh, man, you know, everybody caught a sheep head, and there was a few walleye. And I said a prayer. And before we even got in the boat, we got there and did something I've never done before. The first mate, you know, you always tip that guy at the end. I thought, hey, buddy, I'm going to tip you by faith. We're going to tip you before we start because you're going to help us catch some fish today. And so I was kind of just warming him up so I could witness to him afterwards and gave him a little tip money. And Elliot was with me, so I was hoping we had a good day and no one got sick like last year, Dwight. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And Dwight, I won't even go there. But turned out to be a good day, but we hadn't caught a lot of fish. And so I said a little prayer for Anthony. I did. And I said, oh, Lord, help Anthony catch a fish. I mean, you hate to see a guy all day not catching any. And now Vern, we all hoped he didn't catch any fish. You know what I'm talking about? Because Vern, he's this hunter guy, fishing guy. And so we were just out there, and the captain said, we're going to move. And all of a sudden, Anthony said, fish on. I'm like, yes, Lord. Even if it's a sheep head, at least he caught something. If it's a bluegill, you know, it'll be great. And the guy said, if it's a walleye, we're staying. And Anthony pulled up a walleye. And we were like, praise the Lord. You know, it was awesome. Then we caught, like 25 or 30 fish in the next 15, 20, 30 minutes. They were, like they were jumping in the boat. Elliot was catching them with a net. They were just all over the place. And then I said, Lord, Anthony's caught enough. Stop it, please, stop it. Let me catch some again. Thank you for answering the prayer, but he's had enough fun. That's enough right there. And I thought I'd never see the day where I was on a boat where we caught all these fish. And, it just took some time. But what I didn't know is this, that the first mate, I got to witness to him, and he told me he got saved when he was 13 years old. He told me that he lost a little boy when he was 6 years old, his second son. And he had a necklace with some of the ashes on his necklace. And he said, When I seen your little boy get on the boat, and you prayed, I knew we were going to have a good day. And man, it was a neat day. We got the boat, and Elliot said, Dad, did he get saved? And I said, he was already saved, son. And usually I just like to catch a soul, amen, whether I catch a fish or not. But I walked off the boat, and I thought, thank you, God, for letting me just see some things today that I didn't know and I didn't see before. I am blessed to be able to see things that the rest of the world doesn't get to see because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are blessed to see things that the rest of the world cannot. It's not that they haven't seen it. They cannot see it. The Bible says, look at verse number 4. Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Because they don't believe, it's not that they're just not looking, it's that they're blind. You find someone that's blind and you can't just put something closer to them so they can see it. Here, let me bring it closer. No, you don't understand. I'm blind. I cannot see. Oh, man. And this is something that's curable by the gospel. Can somebody say amen to that? When we come together and we meet on a Sunday or Wednesday, some amen, some amen, some of it. We meet, whenever we get to meet, that didn't mean to be a dig, but I'm glad you got the message. But when we meet together, it's not just to preach so someone gets saved. No, we come together because we see things that the rest of the world cannot see. Let me give this to you. Just in the passage, look, first of all, it says, seeing we have this ministry, we need to realize that there's a duty that we have. We cannot faint. Look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's the ministry of the New Testament. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of telling someone else who cannot see that they can see if they get the Lord Jesus in their life. There's a duty that we have to see is ours. The world's not going to win the rest of the world to Christ. The world's not going to witness of the love of Jesus. The world's not going to tell each other about coming judgment. The world's not going to see the purpose and what's transpiring in the current events. No, it's our ministry. Because of this, verse 2 says, dishonesty needs to be renounced. Look at verse 2. but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. There is no room for lying in a Christian's life. I'll say amen to that. I don't care if it's for public promotion. I don't care if it's for private protection. There is no reason for lying if you're a Christian. We have this ministry. We got to be honest. Second of all, it says that not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We need to handle the Bible honestly. And what it says, don't be afraid of it. Well, I don't think the culture will like it. It doesn't matter if they like it. I can't hold it deceitfully and say, oh, you'll really love John 3:16. Don't look at Romans chapter 1. You'll really love Romans 8:28, but don't look at Hebrews chapter 12. No, we can't handle deceitfully and show you the streets of gold and the pearly gates instead of the lake of fire and the flames that are going to engulf the wicked. We have to handle it honestly. Then it says, look at this. It says that not in craftiness. That word craftiness, man, I love it when I learn something in the Bible. That word craftiness, it's about 5 or 6 times in the New Testament, and most of the time it's translated craftiness. But one time it's translated subtly, as the devil was subtle in deceiving Eve. And you know what? We need to be careful we're not devilish. We need to make sure that we're doing what is right with the Word of God, not just to get advantage, because that's what Satan did. He used the Word of God to his advantage. He deceived Eve with the Word of God. Then, look at verse 2, it says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're not only on display in front of God, can every believer say amen to that? But we're also on display for other men's consciences. Some things you ought to do just because other people are watching you. Now, you can say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. No. This verse says, why? Because if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They don't know God. You do. We can see it. We can see it. Well, I couldn't even see why that the first mate yesterday, he was letting Elliot hold the net. He was letting Elliot run around. Elliot was like the second. He was like the first grade first mate. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't even catch it. I didn't even see it. And then as I was witnessing to him, he said, you know, I come out here because God, it gets me away from some things. I lost a little boy 21 years ago. And then I could see it. Wow. Glad I tipped him at the beginning. I just couldn't see it until at the end of the day. Friend, we see some things because we believe. And I want to give you some things that I hope that you see today because you believe. This is the thought. This is the foundation. This is where we're going. Now I want you to go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. People who don't believe, this has nothing, doesn't make any sense to them, doesn't resonate. This is not a point of, wow, that makes sense and I'm going to believe now. No, when we read this verse, it only makes sense for those of us who see, those who can see, those who believe. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to turn a few places to get this message. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. That believe. See, their minds blinded because they believe not. We know that the word of God, that preaching of the word of God, works in us because we believe. If you don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God, it's not going to matter what I say about the Word of God. You're just going to dismiss it. Well, that's just what the Word of God says. And I've talked to people that have said, well, that's just what the Bible says. Yeah, and you ought to believe the Bible because it's the truth. But it's easy for me to get an amen in this congregation because you all believe. You can see it. It's what bothers me is when people who say they believe don't see the need of Bible preaching. Well, I already know I'm going to heaven. Oh, so you get a pass, but I'm a preacher and I had to be there every Sunday. Now, I know they pay me to be good. You guys are all good for nothing. I know that joke, but I'm just telling you, if you believe, If you believe, you'll understand that the Word of God, look at verse 13, that you receive the Word of God not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. There is a great, great size, a huge movement right now amongst churches to move away from the feel-good and the frilly and the theatrical and the modern church. And you know what they're moving back to? They're moving back to orthodoxy because they're realizing, wow, our churches didn't even meet. Our churches didn't do anything. Our churches have nothing to say about the culture. At least this church is preaching what the Bible says. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about churches in general. The modern, magnificent light, smoke, big production, they're having big-time problems right now. Big-time problems. And you know why? Because none of them know anything that's in the Word. All they know is what they've been watching up on the stage. The Bible says in the last days, the Church of Philadelphia is blessed because they kept the Word. Not because of some other thing. It was the Word of God. Listen, true believer, if you believe, the Bible says it works in you. Watch this. The Word of God, we recognize it as it is truly from God, not from men. Now, there are questions of how it was written, how it's translated. I'm not trying to demean you for asking those questions. Those are great questions to look into and to wrestle with and struggle with as a believer, so you can have a reason for your hope. But friend, I believe this is God's Word, and God inspired it, and God kept it, and that's why I'm going to preach and be a part of it. That's why I'm in church. It's because of this Word, not because of anybody else. Now, when I was little, my mama made me go, amen, but she's not making me anymore. Second of all, the work of God. Look at verse number 16. It says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. He was counting this as a thankworthy event because they received the Word of God. And even though they were forbidden and there was problems and hurdles, they wanted to preach the Word of God so that Gentiles might be saved. Friend, the preaching of the gospel to a believer encourages you that you'll be a part of somebody else becoming a believer. That's what happens when we get around preaching of the Bible. It spurs us. It moves us. It convicts us. It tells me, why am I not telling more people about Him? Brings us to seeing those that are lost to come to be saved. And then the will of God. Look at verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have also, what's the next word? They didn't become followers because of some prestige or some advantage. They became followers because it was the Word of God, and then they suffered through it. It wasn't like it was a big production and a comfort to come to church in the first century. No, there was suffering involved, but they received it as it was the Word of God. And let's just remember, not all received it. How many were baptized the day of Pentecost? 3,000? I bet there were hundreds of thousands of Jews that were there. Only 3,000 got saved and baptized. We think of it as a great revival, but percentage-wise, I don't think that the large group received it, because there was persecution all the time from those days on. Oh, if we can see it, we see that preaching produces things in a believer's life because we believe. And I urge you, if preaching's good on Sunday morning, you know preaching's probably good on Sunday night. Oh, preacher, don't go there. Our crowds have been so good. Don't make us feel bad for not being more committed to God. I'm going to make you feel bad for not being more committed to God. What are you doing? It's getting closer to the end. We ought to be more faithful. There ought to be more production from us. We ought to see God do greater things than He's done before. Second of all, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hey, we've got to realize that if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I'm not worried about your soul going to heaven. You've been saved. I'm not preaching because I'm concerned that you're going to miss out. I believe you're saved. Praise the Lord. I don't have to inject you with any more. I didn't inject you in the first place. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to. So why are you pressing? Why are you pushing? Why are you? Because if you believe, number one, preaching produces. Number two, Jesus is precious. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 6 and 7. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which, what? He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble where? Wow. If we can see, then we should see that Jesus is precious. You know that word precious? My mom always calls me precious. And whenever my wife complains about me, my mom on the other end of the phone says, Ain't he precious? Ain't he precious? And she's like, Oh, he's precious, all right. And you're about to get him back here if he don't change his ways. And my mom always says, Oh, ain't he precious? And now, she didn't always say that to me growing up either, okay? But we tease about that. But that word precious means of value. Do you see value in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you believe, you should see the value in him. Look at verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is... Isn't God good? Is there any complaint that you have about Jesus Christ? There's some things I don't know all about why or how yet, but I think he's great. I think it's the best thing I've ever found, and I don't think I should ever get over him. I think he should make me smile today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And if I didn't smile yesterday, I'm going to smile more tomorrow just to make up. I think he's precious. I think he's worth. I've tasted. Look at verse number 6. It says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He's been tried. He's already been, the foundation's been laid, and he rose again. That cornerstone of the church. We're not at the beginning of the church. We're at the end of it. Has the church prevailed against the gates of hell? Yes. From the first century all the way, and even in the 21st century, God's church is victorious. Not all of them individually have had great things happen. Maybe because of a little thing called human sin involved. But the church as a whole, he's the foundation. It's precious. Hey, find you a place and get involved. And then you say, Preacher, I'm having problems with this church. I know, I do too. It's usually from behind the pulpit. Amen? I'm just going to tell you. But you find a place where you can be excited and you get involved. And if it's not here, I understand that. But you be excited about God's church because he is precious and his work is precious. You can taste and see. You can try it. There's value. The offering unto him, we ought to give all we can. The obligations to him ought to be greater than anything else. And the love for others that we have because of him ought to be shown. He's precious. Only he's worthy of that glory and honor. Hope you see it. And if something else has got your glimpse and got your attention, quit looking at it. Turn your eyes back to Jesus. We can see it. Thirdly, go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 23 says, Jesus said to them, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now the context of that verse is obviously going to be important. And you know what the context is? A man who was worried about his son. Brought him to the disciples and no one could help him. And I know that there are family members that we've probably asked others to pray for, asked others to visit, asked others to intervene, and nothing's worked. And you know what? You just need to get to Jesus, and you need to believe. Yeah. Because maybe those other people just can't believe yet. Or maybe they don't have the vision to see it. Whew. And I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, Austin, I'm so glad that you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen. I'm so glad. I know you're here in the early service for a purpose. Your grandpa prayed for you. We talked about this. He prayed for you and pleaded. He called me late at night, and I'm like, John, what are you calling me for? I can't do anything. And that's what I thought in my mind. But Austin is now on fire for the Lord, and John would be amazed, and so thrilled because he could see it. He could see it. Don't you stop believing for someone. The fruit of your faith may not be seen in your lifetime. This man brought his son to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't get it. Well, I've asked preacher to do this and preacher. I can't do it all. And I'm not even trying to complain about me. I'm just saying God can, and you need to believe on him. Because if you believe, you can see it. Never forget the day Sharon, your husband, walked into church with you. Never forget that. Never forget it. Years apart, years away. And that old bird came and sat in church like no other the last few years of his life. Never forget that. I thought, what a blessing. Sharon just stayed faithful. Stayed faithful. You need to believe. Because you can see it when others cannot. Jesus said these things come out only by fasting and praying. Boy, our youth camp that we're preparing for in 3 weeks, we've been trying to get an answer of maybe we could have 2 weeks of camp, and what a hardship that might be on the preachers that run it and do it. The capacity is 800 kids, and as of yesterday, 700 and some are already signed up. They're going to have a waiting list because there's not going to be enough room to put every kid that wants to go to the youth camp. Praying, fasting. Brother Carter prays, fasts. Yeah. Our prayer is that every kid will get saved that goes to that camp that week. Yeah. Every kid that's backslidden will get revived when they go to that camp that week. I'm praying every youth director gets no sleep the whole week at that youth camp. Amen. You know what? It's a privilege because we can see and we can believe. This man's son, there was a spirit possessed. He had a simple prayer. Where's it at? Where he says, Lord, help my... Verse 24. After Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Look at verse 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my what? I'm just going to try, Lord. You got to help me. Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to believe. And all that happened, the foul spirit left. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. What a blessing. I hope that you can see it today. Because the world cannot see it, I hope that you and I will. Fourthly, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16. You may not like turning all the places, but it makes the sermon go so much faster, I'm telling you. And I think it's important that we look at the Bible, but today, a few different places. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. This is what Paul said about himself. He said he was the chief of all sinners. And verse 15, it says that, whom I am chief of all sinners. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. See, those of us that believe, we realize there is a purpose. We believe all things are possible. We worship Jesus because he's precious. We come to preaching because we know it produces in the person that believes. Something happens when you're around it. In 1 Timothy, there's a purpose. Notice it says, for this cause in verse 16. Paul's looking back in his life and he thought, wow, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, verse 13, injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. There's some purpose. There's a pattern. Verse 16 says, for a pattern, God did this for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. When you are a believer and you've seen the Lord and you've accepted him, you realize that our paths are no longer our paths. Our plans should no longer come ahead of his plans. Because what are our plans? Just ours. But His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? He'll direct them. Well, I don't want to go down that path. I don't care what you want. If you've seen the Lord's good and you trust Him, go down His path. I wonder what's behind door number one. If it's your choice, don't go there. There's a purpose. We see that. And then there's protection and prayers. Go to John chapter 17. What a powerful verse this is. And I know I'm cherry-picking some verses, but I hope that you realize that where the thought is coming from, because we can see it. Context is always important in every verse of Scripture. But the fact that we believe we should see more than just what the rest of the world is looking at. John 17, verse number 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall what? Shall believe on me through their word. He's not praying for the world in John 17. He's praying for His disciples. And then He goes on to say, I'm not even praying for just my disciples. I'm praying for all of them which shall believe because of their word. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know when someone's praying for you? Of all the things that electronics have brought, and a bunch of it, there's a lot of danger. I get it. Social media is things. But there's good and bad. It's kind of like what you do with it. Kind of like a gun or a knife or anything else. It's what you do with it. It is. And I know that minds that are young, and there's dangers there. We've got to be careful with what they have in front of them and what they have access to. Y'all say amen to that? Amen. That goes for everything. Cars, guns, yes. Social medias. Amen? Yeah. Some wisdom there until their minds are able to balance and handle things out. I get that. But we see here that in John 17, it's a blessing to know Jesus praying for you. And I think of this Faith Life app that we have. It just thrills me that when you can post a prayer request and then people say, hey, I'm praying. Hey, I'm acknowledging. Hey, I'm lifting it up too. That's one of the most encouraging things. Of all the advances in technology, it's a blessing to know. When I get up in the morning and pray with some guys and I hear them praying for my kids, man. They also pray for my jokes, amen, and my preaching, so that's another thing. But that's why it's been so good lately, amen. But listen. It's a blessing to know that someone's praying for you, and you can see that. Jesus is wearing the priestly garb right now. He's interceding for the believer. How could you not see that? How can you not know that there's protection? In Matthew 18:6, it talks about it'd be better if one of these were offended. If you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better if you hang a millstone around your neck and be cast in the sea than to offend one of these little ones that believe on Him. God promises protection and prayers for the believer. I hope you see that. We're not just on our own trying to find our way through this, navigate this life. Lonnie said, where'd you guys fish at? I'm like, I have no idea. We're on the lake. I don't know. He's like, where'd you catch them all? I'm like I could. You know what I did? I got in the boat and they got a fish finder and I trusted that captain. And I was praying for that first mate. Amen? I have no idea where we went, but I know we got there. Their fish were biting at the very... Do you know where you're going through life? I don't think so, but you ought to know that there is a captain, and you get on his boat. He knows take you where you ought to go. He knows where you need to be through all of it. So, Lonnie, I have no idea where to send you if you want to go fishing tomorrow up there, okay? But do you see that he's praying for us? There's protection. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I'm almost done. Boy, I hope you see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some can't. They're blinded by the God of this world. They have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ. And they haven't even seen the light of the gospel to know that they need to be saved. One of the fellows that came, a friend of Vern, and I talked with him. He's from Indiana. And he's a maintenance guy for their church. And we got talking, and he said, man, I got saved 2 years after Vern did. Just changed my whole life. So I work at the church now. Just smile on his face. Just a blessing to be around and all those things. And And he was just saying, my life's totally changed. It's totally different now that I've found Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13. What do we see? We see that there's peace in the passing on of others. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which, what? Have no hope. They don't believe. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring, what's it say? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them. I don't have to be sorrowful when somebody that knows the Lord dies. I can see where they went. I can see that there's peace in passing because I believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus. God's going to bring them with him, and I'm going to meet them, not just him, them in the air. Well, I'm glad I see that. Lady this last week was having some chest pains on Monday night, and they tried to get her to go to the hospital, and she said, no, I'm just going to read my Bible and go to sleep. And she woke up in heaven the next morning. Diana, and she's come to our church from Urbana and been in the old building, been in the new building. I saw her at Walmart just the other day. We were talking about her car getting worked on, and now she's in the arms of Jesus. Now, I'm not looking forward to dying, but I am looking forward to going to heaven. I hope it's painless. You know what I'm saying? My wife, she always says, I'm afraid a shark's going to eat me. I'm like, honey, we live in Ohio, okay? She's like, you never know. They could come on land. I'm like, no. She's like, I'm just telling you, I just fear. So I don't look forward to it. I'm praying for the rapture. But you know what? If I die or if you die or when we die, I've got some peace that we're going to meet again. I see that because I believe. And the world doesn't have that hope. And you wonder why there's such mourning when an all-star or when a Hollywood star dies. It's because that's all the stars shining that they have, probably. And all the friends, that's all they remember is just what shined down here. I'm going to shine forever. I can see it. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 1. We're going to see him in the clouds 7 years before he returns with a sword. I'm not going to mourn when he calls me up. I'm going to, like Duke, say, I told you so. I'm going to dunk a basketball while I'm heading up. That'll be the only time I get the dunk. It's right when the rapture happens, so I can just slam dunk one and go on up. Revelation chapter 1, teasing a little bit, but look at verse number 7. Revelation 1, 7, we see him prior. We'll see him prior to this. Verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall, what's it say? Wail. Boy, that's not a good appearing. What do you mean they're going to wail? They're weeping and crying. Hide us from the face and the wrath of the Lamb, because they've not believed, they've not received, they've not accepted. And friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to meet him prior to when you meet him on page Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to meet him in the clouds with them, and I'm going to be like, yes, hallelujah. I'm going to meet that fisherman's little boy. I want to see him up in the clouds. There's loved ones that you can't wait to meet on the other side. And we don't sorrow as those which have no hope because we believe it. We're going to meet the Lord and them, but these folks are only meeting him, and they're wailing because they've not received him. Oh, friend, if you're not saved, you need to call on his name before it's too late. Come on, bended knee, and call upon the Lord. Believe when you see the light. The light is that Jesus died for you. He loves you. He lived for you, and he longs for you to get in the right relationship with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for what you've allowed me to see. I know there's just the world's just blind. They can't see it. They don't see what's worth worshiping. They don't see what there's worth witnessing and working. And Oh, God, I know you're precious, and thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the great value. You sent your very best. All the riches of heaven came down and wore the rags of this world so that we could be redeemed. I pray that you'd speak to hearts and lives this morning. Friend, if you're here this morning, you know you're saved, would you raise your hand as a testimony for the Lord Jesus to see? Oh, I'm glad that you're confident about that. You can put it down. If you're here this morning as the piano begins to play and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Someone like that, I won't call you out, but just up and get up here and have some of the time with the senior recognition.
I'm sorry. We were giving them a Bible. I know they probably have one, but we make sure that the most important book they can ever have, they're going to at least get a new one.
Cole gets three Bibles. Thank you very much. Well, amen. Give him a hand again. And we've been praying for them because they're around Will anytime, right? And I'll just tease and thank you, Will, for all the extra time and all the effort and things that you put in those kids' lives as well. 2 Corinthians 4, we just read the verses, and it mentions in verse number 4 about some folks being blinded, their minds being blinded, and it says, which believe not. And every Sunday, especially when you come to a Bible Baptist church or a church of like faith, we always have an altar call, an invitation call for those that may be in our presence that might need to get saved. And you say, preacher, we're already saved. Why you do that? And you never know who's going to be in attendance. You never know what's going to happen. And I just think that's the most important thing that could ever happen is someone that would call in the name of the Lord. But most of the time, when the church comes together, really the preaching is for the saint, not those that are lost and don't believe. I'm usually not here trying to convince you to believe in Jesus. Y'all say amen to that? I can give you some points why we believe and what we believe, but really I'm not saying, hey, Brian, you really need to believe in Jesus. I know you lead the singing, but I'm here and I'm trying to make you believe. I don't have to convince him he's here because he believes in Jesus. And so the preaching, it's for the church and for the saint to be built up and edified. In this verse, it talks about those that believe not. And look, it's not that they can't. It's not that they don't want to see. Look at verse 4. It's they can't see. Verse 4 says, their minds are blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them. And I know, thankfully, you may be, we were once blind, but now we see if you've been saved, amazing grace. So all of the preaching from time in church will come to a point of invitation and decision. But the messages that are preached, we need them because they're to convict us, to convince us, to concern us for the lost, for the Lord's work, for living the way that he says to. And so I'm not preaching to you because you're blind. No, I'm preaching to us because we can see. We believe. And look at verse number 1, just to follow the passage. See verse number 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. We can see. If someone's blind, it doesn't matter how close you put the page to them. If they're blind, they just cannot see. Here, let me put it a little closer. No, you don't understand. I can't see. If you're blind, it's not a matter of making it more accessible. It's they cannot see. We can see. Verse 1 says, we see that we have a duty. Look, we have a ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Not only do we have a duty, but man, there's a great, great responsibility for us and a call for us to stay with it, stay faithful to it. In verse number 2, look at our practice. It says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I don't think that there's any excuse for a Christian to lie, no matter what it's about. If it promotes you in your job, don't lie. If it protects you in your personal life, don't lie. We should be people of truth and renouncing dishonesty. Notice it says, we shouldn't handle the Word of God deceitfully. This is our practice because we can see. I know that John 3:16 is wonderful, but so is Revelation chapter 21 that talks about the fire of hell. I know that all things work together for good is a great verse in Romans 8, but God disciplines all his children, and Hebrews 12 is just as good. We should not handle the Word of God deceitfully and only show what we want to show. We should handle the Word of God faithfully and show what it wants us to see. Make sense? So this is what these verses are saying. Look at the word craftiness. That's not the crafting group on Thursday, by the way, okay? Notice in verse 2 it says, not walking in craftiness. Six places that word, I think five or six places that word shows up. And all of them, it shows up in craftiness. What that word in the other place shows up is subtlety. How the devil was very subtle when he tricked Eve. And so when we handle the Bible, we should be careful that we don't use it devilish. The devil used the Bible for his own benefit to tempt Eve and catch her. All God hath not said, ye shall surely die. He misquoted. He added something to it. And he did it with really a very devilish motive to destroy someone rather than to build someone up. So the Bible, we got to be careful because our eyes are open that we should be honest, be not faithful with it, not self-seeking or devilish. And then notice verse number 2, it says, at the end of it says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our practice of being able to see and not being blind because we're saved, we ought to be displaying it not only in front of God, but we ought to be displaying it according to every other man's conscience. You say, well, it doesn't bother me. I'm saved. Yeah, but what if it bothers your brother or someone who does not even know about the gospel? What we do and how we live affects people that even it's a higher standard. It's not just what I think. I represent Bible Baptist Church. I do. I'm the pastor of all the people that come to Bible Baptist Church. So, well, you just live the way you want to. No, I affect more than just me. That's why I be careful. I don't tell all the jokes I want to tell. Amen. I just tell a few of them. There's just a higher calling once your eyes have been opened that you say, wow, let's be careful how we live. And that goes to a lot of areas. I'm not saying that we've accomplished it and we're perfect at it, but there is this higher calling that we would display our lives. In verse 3, look why. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are... Listen, if you're saved, I'm not worried about whether you go to heaven or hell. I believe you're going to heaven. I believe it's settled and secured. Well, why are you preaching to us so much about it? Because I know there are other people who don't know they're going to heaven or hell. And I know that I got a burden for winning people to the Lord because I was in church hearing a preacher preach about winning people to the Lord. And hearing about hell, I didn't want my worst enemy to go there. Not even my Cleveland Brown friends. Amen. Sister Sandy brought her blanket, and I turned the fan off just so you wouldn't get it out, Sandy. Ha, ha, ha. She got her Cleveland Brown blanket to show it off in church. We're going to burn that thing after church. But I turned the fan off so you'd be warm. Ha, ha, ha. But anyway, I don't want my worst enemy to miss heaven. But I'm not worried about if you go to heaven, if you're saved. I am worried about your friends going to heaven, who may not be. So if your gospel is hid, it's not that you're in danger. It's everyone else is in danger that you're around. Follow me? So what we see. Verse number 4 says, those that are blind, they believe not. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's our privilege because we are not blind that we can see things that others cannot see. Who hath blinded their eyes? The Bible says the God of this world. That's the devil, Satan. What has it prevented? It didn't just prevent them from being saved. No, it prevented them from seeing the light. And you can show the light and still someone might not get saved. I've witnessed to people and they've said no before. You have too, probably. You've told someone, hey, you need to get saved, and they said, no, I don't think I'm ready. And I'm like, oh, yes, you are. I can't make someone get saved. But I can try to show them more of the light, and that's what this passage talks about. So because the lost, they cannot see, I want to talk today about some things that we can see. And I don't know if this rings a bell, but there are places that I've driven by, and I thought, I knew one day that was going to be a hot place. And finally, someone bought it and built something up. I remember when I was in high school, a friend that was just a couple years ahead of me, and they lived south of town, but they had some farmland right on the corner of State Route 32 and 68. There were cows on the corner of State Route 32 and 68. And I always thought, man, that's like the primest piece of land. Now there are two Krogers. One Kroger, they built another Kroger and sold the old Kroger. And now there's like 15 businesses. The car lots moved out there. And they sold, I remember I was in high school when they sold that land. And I thought, that's going to be a big, we got our first McDonald's there. Can somebody say amen? I remember thinking, we have arrived on the map because we have a McDonald's in Brown County, Ohio, okay? But you know, you could just tell people were moving, and I thought, man, there's going to be something there. It's just a matter of time. Well, that's because we had the ability to see things. Others just couldn't see it, and maybe they had a chance to buy it and didn't. I wasn't old enough to buy it, or I'd have bought it, never mind. But I have been privileged to see some things. We went fishing yesterday. And usually when the guys go fishing Lake Erie, I go, and I'm a shepherd, and I catch sheephead all day long, okay? That's always the joke. They like know the pole, and they know the line. There's the preacher. The sheep want to get on his line. And these other guys catch walleye, and I don't care what I catch. I don't catch a cold, and I'm happy about going. But every year we've caught a few fish. Yesterday I finally seen it. We limited out on fish. Everybody caught, and we were, Elliot, my little boy, was counting them, and on the way back I said, you know what, if they count one less, we're getting our poles back out, we're getting our full worth of this fishing trip. But he counted right, we had all the fish that everybody could catch, and it was awesome, but it didn't start out that way, and we were fishing, and Anthony Jones, he's back here, and he was fishing, and about 2.5 hours, maybe caught, I think, 10 or 11 fish of walleye. There's a few others caught, but And I caught a couple sheephead, whatever, and poor Anthony hadn't caught nothing. I felt bad for him. I really did. I mean, not like horrible bad, but I felt bad for him, and I felt so bad I even prayed. And I did. I'm not lying about praying. We prayed, and we prayed before we got on the boat, and we had a different, like, you know, first mate, and I thought, I am going to get ahead. I'm going to tip this guy before we start by faith so we'll catch a lot of fish. I was being real spiritual yesterday. I'm praying. I really prayed for no waves that we wouldn't puke like we did last year. Amen. But praying, and we tipped the guy before it started. And then, you know, it's about 10:30. We caught maybe 10 or 11 walleye. And I prayed, Lord, help Anthony at least catch one fish. You know, give him a bone, Lord. Just help him a little bit. And the guy, the captain said, we're going to move. And all of a sudden, Anthony's like, fish on. And the first mate said, if it's a walleye, we're not moving. And Anthony pulled up a walleye. And we're like, oh, thank you, God. That's neat, Anthony. Oh, good man. I feel good for him. I didn't care about Vern, Chelsea. I mean, he catches fish all the time. I was hoping he didn't catch anything the rest of the day. But Anthony's a nice guy. You know, I was wanting to, God, take care of him. Well, we didn't move, and I'm telling you, like, the next half hour, we caught 20, 30 fish. They were flopping in everywhere, and then I'm like, Lord, Anthony's caught enough. Please let him stop. Bring him back over here. He's caught enough. I mean, every cat, Anthony, walleye. We're throwing him around, and it was just awesome. It was an awesome day, and I never thought I'd live to see that, see it happen. Well, after it was over, you know, on the way back, I tried to witness to the first mate, and he told me he'd gotten saved when he was 13 years old. And he said, you don't know what this water means to me. And I didn't catch it, but he had a necklace on, and he had the ashes of his little boy that he lost when his little boy was 6 years old. And I don't know what happened, but when we got on the boat, and Elliot is 6 years old, and he just took care of him the whole day, and I didn't know why, what was going on. But he said, I knew when his little boy got on and you prayed, we're going to have a great day today. I didn't see it. If I'd have seen it, I'd probably tipped him a little more. Amen. You know, and he took care of us, and it was a wonderful day. Everybody had a great time. Sometimes when you can see things, it helps you to understand even more of what you've seen. And I was grateful. He let him carry the net. He let him put the fish in. And Elliot kept saying, "Where's the tweezers?" He's like, "They're not tweezers. They're pliers." And trying to get the hook out. It was just a fun day. Because once you see something, now you've seen it, you're not the same. And in this chapter, those that believe not can't see, they're blind. But you and I, we're different. Here's the message. Go with me. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at some things that, because we believe, we see differently. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 13. Give you a few points here about what we who believe can see. Verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? And believe. See, their minds were blinded, lest they should believe. They didn't believe. This verse says, it works. The Word of God works in us that believe. And the first point is, I can see, and I hope that you can see, that preaching the Word of God produces something in the believer. It does. Again, I'm not trying to get you saved every week. I'm trying to preach the Word so it'll do something in us every week. Prepare us for the week ahead. Promote us. We got that boat, and Elliot said, "Dad, did he get saved?" And I said, "He was already saved, son." Praise the Lord. But it produces. What does it produce? Number one, the Word of God produces because we believe it. Look at verse 13. It says, "You didn't receive it as it was the word of men." In this passage, the Thessalonians, they received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. If you don't believe the Bible and I preach to you something, you'll just say, "Well, that's what the Bible says." In fact, I've told people, "Hey, you know, this is wrong." And they say, "Well, that's just what the Bible says." As if, "Well, I don't believe the Bible, so it doesn't apply to me." Well, friend, when you stand in front of God, it's all going to apply to all of us. But we believe that. Someone who doesn't believe the Bible, they haven't got to that point. When I got saved, I believed in Jesus. I didn't know all the Bible. But I'm telling you, it's all God's Word. And so, just as I mentioned, John 3:16 is great, but so is Revelation 20. Philippians 4:13 is great, but so is Hebrews 12:3. All of these verses are God's Word. And so, when you see it, you see Jesus, you see the preaching, is it produces something. That's why we come to hear the Word of God. Look at verse 16. It says that forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. They ran into some hardship, but the reason why that the people were forbidding the preaching was because there's an enemy who doesn't want people to get saved. The Word of God leads to the work of God. That's always what happens. I got a burden to tell someone about Jesus because I believe that there's a heaven and a hell to tell them about. The Word of God is the precursor or the prerequisite before the work of God can be done. And then the will of God. Hey, before you ever teach, reach, serve, it's going to be because you heard, listened, and was convicted about it before you ever accomplish it. I didn't just decide one day without knowing the Bible I want to be a preacher. I learned a lot of the Bible, and then God began to work on me about being a servant of His. And I served the Lord a long time before I ever became a preacher. Hey, I was good for nothing too a long time. Amen? I love that joke. It's hilarious, the funniest joke. So, number one, we see that preaching produces in a believer's life. Verse 14 says this, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also had your best life now and received all kinds of blessings." Know what's it say? "You've suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Why would someone get involved with the will of God when it brings suffering, because they believe the word of God and don't care what it brings, they are going to submit to what it says. That is the what it produces when it's preached. Second of all, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is something that we see. The whole world doesn't see it, but we see it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 7. It says, unto you therefore which believe, see, that's those are us that can see, he is what? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. This verse tells us in verse 7, he is precious. I see that Jesus is worth something. The word precious means of value. My mother always says this about me. She says, ain't he precious? My wife will call her and be telling her about something I've done and complain about something that I've said or did, and she'll say, ain't he precious? And she's like, oh, he's precious, all right. You can have him back some of these days. And my mom didn't always call me precious when I was growing up, but she'll say, ain't he precious? Ain't he precious? And I'm trying to get my wife to fall in with that, right? But the word precious in Scripture means of value. It's worth something. Precious. It's worth investing or storing up or treasuring. I believe Jesus is worth something. You all say amen to that? Hey, if you believe in him, he's worth it. You know what he's worth? He's worth worshiping. Verse number 3 says this. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is, yeah, I think that he's precious. He's worth something to worship. I believe he's worth worshiping every day to get in the Word of God. It shouldn't just be a Sunday thing. It should be a everyday thing. Amen? And I think that you can have even more opportunities to worship than ever before. You could even listen to another church's live stream in the middle of church if you want it. Not in the middle of church, in the between churches. Strike that from the record, Bryce. Don't let that one be played. You can get all kinds of avenues to other worship services and places to learn the Word of God. Because if you think he's precious, then it's worth spending your time around him. Oh, he's precious. You can taste and see. He's tried. Verse number 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. He's already been laid as the foundation of the church. And from the first century until the 21st century, the church will still prevail against the gates of hell. There are still people that believe Jesus is worth investing, inviting, and making a part of their daily life. I think that it'll happen until Jesus calls the church out of this world. Because he promised that, and it's provided that, and there are people. Now, the blind folks don't think he's precious. If you're not saved, I would doubt that they would be the most faithful people in church who aren't saved. But you know what? I think the people who are saved ought to be faithful in church. Now, preacher, be careful. We're all here on Sunday morning. Don't go preaching about Sunday night and Wednesday night church. Okay, I won't. I'll just tell you, you ought to be in church Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think we ought to be together even more as we see the day of him approaching. That's what the Bible says. And so if the first century church met daily, shouldn't the last century church meet and have some reason to worship and to get involved? If he's precious. If he's precious to you, then there'll be some of that in your life. Taste and see. Tried. Time. I think our offerings, our obligation, and then serving others. Only unto him he's worthy because Jesus is precious. Verse number 8 says he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People can get offended. Well, I don't have to do that, preacher. Yeah, but if you love him, wouldn't you want to do something for him? Thirdly, go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This is what we see as a believer. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And I don't know if I can do this point near justice as what it was done in the early service, and I'll tell you why, but I'm going to preach it the same way. Try to. Mark chapter 9, verse number 23. Again, the lost world, those that are blinded, they can't see, no matter how close you hold it up to them. But we see, because we have the light, and Jesus has made us be able to see these things spiritually. Verse number 23. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that what? Yeah, we see all things are possible. We see that even if it doesn't look like it can happen, it still can happen because God is able. I still see a sign out there. I still see it with verses glaring and blaring, and all the traffic gets to look at what's going on at Bible Baptist Church every week. I know they said no, but I still see it. I still see it. We'll see if the world sees it eventually, but I see it. I just need Marysville Zoning Board to see it. Amen. But all things are possible because God is involved with those who believe. There was a young man sitting about where Carl and Ford and the twins are sitting there, and in the early service, and I remember visiting him in West Central, Tri-County Jail, different places, and Grandpa would call me, hey, would you go see him? And my grandson, I thought, there ain't nothing there. Why am I going again? He was in the early service this morning. He's been on fire for the Lord. His grandpa's in heaven, and his grandpa was having all kinds of heart concerns, called me from the hospital, OSU, and said, would you just pray for my son, my grandson? I'm like, John, you need to worry about yourself. But he believed that something was going to happen with his grandson. You know what? Because you see God doing something, you need to believe for some other people. When they can't see it themselves, you need to believe. He was in church this morning with all his family. I'm sure it's because he invited and wanted them to come. And you know why? Because a grandpa wouldn't stop praying for his grandson. I couldn't see it. In this chapter, Mark chapter 9, a guy brings his son to Jesus and he says, I brought him to your disciples and they could not help him. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. And you know what? The preacher might not be able to. The youth director, the aunt, the uncle, maybe no one else can reach him. But you know God can, so don't give up. You keep believing. You keep praying. You keep holding on. Look at verse 24. After Jesus told him all things are possible to him that believeth, look what the father said. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine. He said, I want to believe, you got to help me. That young kid got healed right there, amen. And the Lord said, these come out only by faith, by prayer and fasting. What we think is impossible is possible when we believe. Hey, I'm so excited about this youth camp. Brother Carter is the director of it, and we've been praying for it. We've been praying that every kid that goes that's not saved would get saved, and every kid that goes that's backslidden would get revived. They emailed yesterday, and they're already within 100 kids of capacity 3 weeks ahead. If you ain't signed up, you ain't going to get in. And they're praying about maybe expanding another week, but it's unbelievable. You know why? It shouldn't be unbelievable if we can see God working. All things are possible to those that believe. Keep believing. Keep seeing. It's precious. It's productive preaching. It's possible with faith of those that believe. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm almost done. That'll make you feel better, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 16, we can see that there is purpose. There's purpose in life and in things. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This passage ahead, we're not going to preach everything about it, but Paul said, of all the sinners, he's the chief. And he said, I know that I was a persecutor, a blasphemer, and I did it ignorantly and unbelief, and God gave me mercy. And he said, it was for this cause. It was that Christ would show forth a pattern to them which should hereafter believe to life everlasting. Why does God do some of the things he's done with you? I don't know, but there is a purpose. There is a cause. And when I live my life, I'm not going to whine and cry about what's going on. I'm going to look up and ask what's going on and trust him while it's going on. See, that's different than the ones who are blind. I've got a belief that there's purpose. There's purpose for this cause, for this pattern. Our life is no longer ours if we're saved. Our plans should no longer be first if we're saved. They should be secondary. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. What if he wants you to go to Nineveh? I don't want to go to Nineveh. But the Lord wants you to go to Nineveh. Well, I'm not going to Nineveh. The Lord wants you to go to Nineveh. I'm not going. The Lord will get you to Nineveh. By ship or by whale belly, you can choose, but Jonah went to Nineveh. Well, he just didn't have any free will. He did. He went the hard way because he was God's man. He was saved by God. You've got free will to reject Christ, but once you accept him, your will should be his. Even Jesus said, not my will, but there's purpose in submitting and allowing God to direct the paths. I didn't think I'd be in Marysville, Ohio. No Marysville existed. I didn't know why it existed when I got here. Just teasing. I love it here now. But I didn't have any plans, any family here. I didn't know anybody here. That's why I brought Will, so everybody'd know him. Amen, you know. Look, our plans should be secondary because we believe. 1 Timothy says, hereafter should be even believe. It's a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Boy, we don't even know if we're here just so the next person could believe. There's purpose. Then, this is awesome. We can see that there's prayer and protection because we believe. Go to John chapter number 17. John 17. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, this is literally the Lord Jesus' prayer, not the Our Father which art in heaven. That's the sample prayer, but the prayer that Jesus made, the prayer that he prayed, it's John 17. It's a little longer to memorize than Our Father which art in heaven. Look at John 17, and I want you to see verse number 20. Again, not to preach the passage, you can look at it later. But it talks about, it says, how he's praying for those that God had given to him and how he kept them and wanted to sanctify them. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall what? Believe on me through their word. Hey, I can see that Jesus is praying for me. One of the neatest things about technology, and there's a lot of things that come bad with technology, and there's ways people can use it for good. Kind of like guns. Kind of like anything. Kind of like cars. Kind of like jokes. Kind of like anything. People can use it good or bad. It's not the inordinate object that makes something good or bad. Internet is, it can be used wonderfully. It can be used horribly, wickedly. But one thing that's neat, this Faith Life app, when you put a prayer request on there, and if you sign up for the updates and stuff, I'll put somebody's prayer request, and then it'll say, someone's praying. Someone read that. Someone checked in that. Someone said amen. I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. I'm just going to be honest, one of the most blessed things of my morning is when I hear other guys praying for my kids and my family and for me. And they even pray for my preaching and my jokes sometimes too. They've been slacking off on that lately, but maybe they'll pick it back up. I it's a blessing to me to know somebody else is praying for me. You know, Jesus is praying for you. He said, I'm praying for them which shall believe on me through their word. In Matthew 18:6, he's also protecting you. He says, it'd be better that a millstone be hanged around someone's neck than offend any of these little ones that believe in him. That's what Jesus said. Protection and prayer. I see that Jesus cares for me. He's wearing the priestly garb right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. My little children, when you, I pray you sin not, but when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that a blessing? I see Jesus praying for me. The world doesn't see that. The world doesn't even see Jesus dying for them or pleading for them. But I did. That's why I came on bend the knee. I want him in my heart, man. I want Jesus to save me. We can see him praying for us. And then go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A lady named Deanna this week passed away, and she'd come to our church many times. She was a saved lady and from Urbana, but was staying and helping John Meyer some. And she worked at Walmart Monday, Memorial Day weekend, Monday of Memorial Day. She was having some chest pains, and they said, hey, why don't you go to the ER? She said, no, I'm just going to go read my Bible and go to sleep. And she went back to her room, read the Bible, and she went to sleep and woke up with Jesus. Amen. Now, for many people, when someone passes, it's like the most horrible news, the worst thing that could possibly happen. You see, when Hollywood stars and sometimes sports heroes die, it's like the whole world pauses. Oh, what a shame. Their star is dimmed out, and now their life's over. Friend, when I die, I'm going to shine in heaven. This down here don't mean nothing compared to what's waiting for me. I mean, this is nothing compared for the inheritance that's waiting on the other side. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. How can you have that attitude? Because I believe. Watch what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's not in church, okay? This is those who have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we what? See, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Watch this. Then we which are alive and remain, we're the ones that are still left and maybe mourning a little bit, but we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. Watch verse 17. We'll be caught up together with who? With them. Look at verse 17. It's, yeah, we're going to meet Jesus, but it's also with them. Hallelujah, man. I got peace when somebody passes. I don't look at it the same way because I believe. I believe I'm going to see them again, and they wouldn't want to come back if you gave them the option. We think, we pray to keep people out of heaven all the time. Lord, I pray that so-and-so would just live forever and be 200 years old down here and never go to heaven. And they're like, let me go to heaven. I want to go. Now, there's sorrow. There's a separation. But look, for those that believe, friend, there's something brighter on the other side. Would you all say amen? Our faith finally becomes sight. We're waiting to get there. Old first mate, he can't wait to get there to see his little fella. What a rejoicing. If you don't have that faith, you look at death all differently. When, in fact, every funeral I preach to say this. I'll say, if I didn't believe in heaven, you wouldn't catch me near a funeral home. You wouldn't catch me near a cemetery. You wouldn't catch me going to a visitation because it'd be the saddest place to ever be. But because I know they're going to heaven, they're in heaven, and you got a chance, I can introduce you to a way to get there. That's why I'm here. I want to make sure you know how you can be saved. See, it's because I see it differently now. I see it differently. Those that are blind, they can't see it at all. But we that believe see peace in passing. And then last point, Revelation chapter 1. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. I know that when I see Jesus, I'm going to see him prior to this verse. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Those that believe will see Jesus 7 years before this verse. Watch what it says. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, talking about Jesus, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall what? They'll wail because of, that ain't me. I'm not going to be wailing when Jesus comes. I'm going to be like rejoicing. I'm like Duke. When I go up, I'm going to say, I told you so. I hope I have a basketball in my hand because I will dunk it on the way up. Just one time. One dunk right before I go to heaven. Amen? I'm not going to cry and wail when I see Jesus. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give out a shout. I'm going to meet those that are they brought with him and say, hallelujah, we made it. Who's wailing because of him? Those that haven't seen him prior. Those that haven't been redeemed. Those that haven't been saved. Look at verse 7. Every eye shall see him coming with the clouds, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Hey, friend, if you've seen him already, if you've seen him on the cross, we're going to meet him in the clouds, not see him coming down with that sword in his hand. He'll be coming down with saints all around his hands. It's a prior meeting. Those that believe, all things are possible. Don't quit praying. To those that believe, Jesus is precious. Invest in him. For those that believe, there's a purpose for what you go through. For those that believe, Jesus is praying. He has those little ones in his heart and his mind. For those that believe, preaching is productive. Those that believe. It's the guy that really doesn't believe much. He don't want to be around that. I'm not questioning salvation. That's up to God. But I'll tell you this. Guy or a lady don't want to be around the Word of God, there's a reason why they don't want to be around the Word of God. We see him prior. Oh, I'll meet him 7 years before verse 7 takes place. I'm going to meet him with a shout, with a trumpet when he calls my name. In verse 7, they're all seeing him coming. They're crying, hide us from the face and the wrath of the Lamb in Revelation 6. They don't want to see him now. Where'd those nail prints come from in your hands? Oh, friend, you need to see him today. If you're not saved, I'm glad you're here. And even though this message is for the church, there's enough gospel that you could call on the name of the Lord and get it settled in your life. Believer, I pray that you'll be convicted and convinced to go tell someone else. Go share it and show it to someone else. Make sure that all the people will get another opportunity to hear about Jesus before he calls us home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the word today. I pray that you'd bless the preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd